The following is a lecture entitled Real High Tech, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 8, 2006, in Mumbai, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So, in today's world society, many, many people are interested in how they can become more and more high-tech, isn't it? Everyone wants to be state-of-the-art technologically so they can make more money, isn't it? So, there is one thing they do not realize. They don't realize that actually they are very low-tech. But they consider the epitome of high-tech is actually very, very low-tech. Because they are still within the realm of imperfect senses. They struggle like anything just to advance the technology a little tiny bit. They don't realize that the Aroha Pantha method that they follow is very faulty. The Avaroha Pantha method, the descending method, such an easy method. I mean, why go up 20 flights of stairs when you can take the elevator if you gain any advantage? Why struggle so hard to make a little advancement when you can easily make 100 times as much advancement? So, if we take advantage, you see, knowledge is already there, you don't have to invent it. Okay? The actual word for education is from Latin, educare, which means to bring out. That knowledge is already there, actually. It's within your heart, it's within the universe. Perfect knowledge is already there of everything. The ultimate source of all that exists is not uncognizant. Is it? The scientists posit that the ultimate source has no cognizance. But the reality is, they have no cognizance. To posit that the ultimate source of everything has no cognizance is foolish. Because so much cognizance is coming from the source, the original source. If I told you, if every day I brought you 1 kilo of pure gold, I said, Prabhu, I have something I'd like to give you this morning, 1 kilo of pure gold. And every day I kept another kilo. You wouldn't have to even worry about an education now. You could just live off the interest. Every day, 1 kilo of pure gold. And finally one day you say, Prabhu, where are you getting all this gold? Oh, I have a gold mine. Really? How much gold do you have in that gold mine? Oh, there's no gold in the gold mine. Would you believe me? Of course not. You know I'm trying to hide how much I must have, so much gold I want to keep it secret. So how can we understand that that source of all cognizance has no cognizance? That's crazy. Absolutely insane. But because they have big titles at the end of their name, we accept it.
Yeah.
The ultimate source has no cognizance. That means we have no cognizance. All we're saying is this. If you want to be a scientist, don't throw away your common sense. We have nothing against. We'd like you to become scientists. But don't throw away your common sense. How can the ultimate source of all cognizance have no cognizance? It's ludicrous. It's heinous, such a conception, actually. It's a slap in the face of the Supreme Person. How do you expect to be happy with your technological advancement if you slap the Supreme Person in the face? Do you think you can be happy doing that? Do you think you can have a happy civilization based on slapping the Supreme Person in the face? That's what they're trying to do now in India, you see. Throw out God and bring in technology. Yes, we will slap the Supreme Person in the face. We will bring in high technology. And we will have heaven on earth. And what is the result? Simply becoming more and more and more hellish. I think all we have to do is make the airport more beautiful, and then everything will be okay. Give me a break. You can't just beautify the airport and expect that the life standard is going to go up for everyone by beautifying the airport. Most people don't even go through the airport. Only the wealthy class go through the airport anyway. If you want to do something to elevate the consciousness of the people, you see, to elevate the lifestyle of the people of this country, then you have to start at the root cause of the problem, the system of the Indian society. You see? And that is we've turned away from God. That's why. We have to get back to the root cause of all anxieties. The living entity by nature is an enjoyer. He's full of bliss, he's full of knowledge, he's full of compassion, he's full of 26 qualities of the great Vaishnavas. Every single living entity possesses all 26, all 26 of the qualities of a pure devotee in full. Everyone possesses all of them. Poetic, expert, doesn't eat more than required. You see, friendly to all, compassionate, sense. All the qualities of the pure devotee are there in every single jiva throughout the entire existence. But they are simply covered, that's all. By lust, anger, greed, pride, etc. So what is the root cause of that lust, pride, greed, anger, etc.? It is defiance of the Supreme Person. We are expansions of that Supreme Person. Just as he expands Radharani to have a loving relationship with her. He's expanding all the jivas for the same purpose. You're an expansion of God. He's expanding. You exist at this very minute. I'm not talking about your body. I'm talking about you, the spiritual being, the jiva. You, the jiva, exist at this very minute because Krishna is emanating you from himself for one purpose and one purpose only. And that is, he wants to have a loving relationship with you. That's why you exist. Nothing else. So do you think it's possible to have a happy life if you slap him in the face? You're cutting off your very lifeline of existence if you defy God. You see? That's why we have to create a revolution in IIT. We have to create a revolution here. We have to show them what is the real meaning of high tech. Not the so-called high tech that's being spoon-fed to us by the rascals, the cheaters, and the bluffers. We have to take the real high tech. What does Krishna say? Raja Vidya. This knowledge is high tech. Raja means high tech. Raja Vidya means high tech, actually. The highest tech. Raja Vidya. Oh. This we have to. We have to take the real high tech coming from Krishna. We have to become masters of that high tech knowledge. We have, each and every one of us must become qualified professors of this high tech science of the soul, the self. Atma Tattva, the science of the self. If they don't like the word soul, that's okay. We'll say the self. If they don't like the word God, we can say the source. We're talking to them. Talk about the source. This science is so deep that you can explain it from an unlimited number of angles of vision. As long as you've realized the truth, you can explain, you can adapt that explanation completely to your audience. The professor of the true high-tech professor is not stereotyped, because he's connected with the super soul within. In every situation, he's directly connecting with the super soul. And he can tailor fit his explanation at that particular moment, at that particular place, to that particular audience, just what they need to hear that very minute, to liberate them from ignorance. This is called realization. So we are all meant to become realized professors of this high tech. So how do you become realized? Well, that's what the base center is for, isn't it? That's what ISKCON is for. It's a program. It's not, of course, on one level, it's a social organization having, you know. But what is the ultimate purpose? Its purpose is to enlighten the members. This is a place, a sangha, a society where we come together to achieve spiritual perfection. So that we can actually realize Krishna. Prabhupada told me. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. That's when you're really high tech, you see. That's when you've really, really gone high, the highest tech, when you can directly see God face to face. You see. That's called real high tech. Now you've really made it technologically. You've seen Krishna face to face. The great saints can do that. You know the verse, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Santaksadaiva Hridayeshu Valokayanti Yang Shama Shundaram Achyantyu Ganaswa Rupam Govindam Adipurusham Tamam Bhajami. So we are meant to become like that. Completely pure in the heart. And what is that purification? How do you purify your heart? That is explained, Prem Anjana. You can go to the marketplace, you go to the chemist shop, and you can get some ointment. If you have some eye irritation, you can get some ointment. Anjana. There's even an English word which is, I forget the word, Anguvas or something. It's a similar word in English as Anjana. Even modern English, there's a similar word to Anjana, which means very smooth, like an ointment. So, but that Prem Anjana, you see, that is the ointment we have to apply to our vision. So, how do you apply that? Actually, we have many methods of applying that Prem Anjana. One is by taking darshan of the Lord. Feasting our eyes upon the transcendental lotus feet of Shishi Gornitai and gradually coming up to the knees, the waist, the chest, the neck, the beautiful face, the beautiful forehead, you see. This is actually anointing the eyes with Prem Anjana when we take darshan. Seeing the Vaishnavas also, that's why we should all wear tilak as much as possible. We see the tilak in the forehead of a Vaishnava, that purifies our heart, purifies our consciousness. And the other method is, and the prime method actually is, of course, hearing. The more we can hear, especially from senior devotees, from all devotees, but especially when there are senior devotees, more realized devotees, there's great potency. And we hear in those situations. So, through hearing, through chanting, through remembering, all of the nine processes, Nava, Vidha, Bhakti, all the nine processes, they will anoint the consciousness, not just the physical eye, but the spiritual eye, your consciousness, you see, becomes purified. More and more and more by this Nava Vidha Bhakti. So that gradually, gradually, gradually you will realize God. You will know things as they are. So we had promised to speak about the perfection of evolution. And I haven't forgotten the topic. But I just wanted to give a little background information before I got into the topic. Topic at hand. So, according to Mr. Darwin, we have evolved through the lower species, we've come to the human form. And we actually agreed. Now, how we've done that, there's some minor, or you could say major, difference of opinion. But that point we agree with Mr. Darwin. We have evolved from the lower species to the higher species. You know the Vishnu Purana. Jalaja Navalakshani Stavara Lakshavingshati Krimaya Rudra Sankhyaka Pakshinam Dashalakshanam. You know that verse. There are 8,400,000 different species of life. So we have actually come through an evolutionary process. Up to this point, it is simply being enacted by the modes of nature. It's a natural process. You can't do anything about it except wait it out, unless you happen to be lucky and come in contact with the Bodhi. My godbrother, he was a little boy at the time, Dwarkadish Das. He fed some ducks, prasadam, in Dallas, Texas, and he wrote Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, those ducks will become human beings in the next life. So, if an animal or a plant, let's say you sit down one day and chant your rounds by a tree, and that tree got to, and you were chanting very purely good rounds that day, that tree just got sped up on his natural evolutionary process by coming in contact with the holy name. So, the natural progression up through the species, anytime something transcendental comes in there, devotee association, kirtan, then one progresses faster to the human form. Those ducks became human beings in their very next life. It's because Dwarkadish gave them some prasadam. But that depends on someone else blessing you. You know, what can you do? Of course, in the pastime of Shivananda Sen and the dog chose to follow the kirtan party. You know that. The dog took a liking. He said, I want to go with these pilgrims. And he just started tagging along with them. And he actually went back to Godhead before the pilgrims did. You know that story? You know that story? Yeah. It's amazing. You know this story? Yeah. It's actually amazing. Shivananda Sen is very wealthy. And so, just like now, you arrange the big bus tours to Vrindavan. They didn't have any buses in India in those days. And the big place for all the Bengalis to go was Puri, Jagannath Puri. So instead of a big bus tour, you know, they would go by foot. But Shivananda Sen was footing the bill, you know, paying for the boat fares and the inns, the prasadam. So still, he was helping to sponsor the whole big thing. So they were going along the way, and this dog just started tagging along behind. For some reason, Shivananda Sen took a liking to that dog. And one day, actually, they came to the river, and all the people got on the boat to cross. Shivananda Sen paid the fare, and then the dog hopped in the boat. He didn't want to miss. And the boatman said, this dog can't ride for free. Either you pay or he has to get off the boat. Pay for the dog. Shivananda Sen paid for the dog. But anyway, one day the dog went missing and Shivananda Sen was so worried, where is that dog? And he just fasted. He fasted from prasadam because he was worried, where is the dog? Because anyway, they got to Vrindavan, Puri. The dog didn't show up again. But they got to Puri and there he was with Lord Chaitanya. Somehow he got to Puri before they did. Lord Chaitanya was throwing the green coconut pulp and the dog was going, Haribo! Haribo! And then no one saw the dog after that. He was gone. And someone said, oh, he had died and went back to Vaikuntha. So, somehow or other, if we can come in contact with a Vaishnava, then we make progress very quickly, normally more than we normally would to come to the human form. And once you're a human being, you won't make any further progress. Unless you can follow the Vedic system. Now you can evolve to the heavenly planets if you follow the Vedic system. Because that's a useless waste of time. You can merge into Brahman also by following the Vedic. These are considered advancements on the pathway of evolution. Svarga or, you know, Brahman. But really they're a useless waste of time. Only the fools would want to go to the heavenly planets. Only the fools that want to merge with Brahman. Why? Because those are only temporary positions. Those who are intelligent, you see. What is that verse? Those who are philosophically inclined do not endeavor for that purposeful end which is not obtainable by wandering from the highest planet to the lowest planet, you see. Yeah, so the those who are actually intelligent, they take shelter of the Vaishnavas. They take shelter of Guru so that they can achieve Golok, the spiritual world. So they no longer have to go up and down in this evolutionary cycle anymore. They've had enough. I've been looping the loop here in the 8,400,000 species since time immemorial, you know. There's nothing really more to be had here. If there was anything to be had in this 8,400,000 species, I already tasted it millions of eons ago. You see. So why should I bother again? Punak punas charvacharvananam. I've already been a prime minister about 5,000 times. I've been a demigod, I've been, you know, I've been a bear, a lion, I've been a king, I've been a musician, I've been a poet, a philosopher, I've been a worker, I've been a beggar, I've been a leper, you know. I've been a beautiful woman, I've been a handsome man, I've been, you know, I've been everything. Millions and millions of times again and again and again. So what's the use of struggling to become something in this material world? Of course, we can endeavor in this world for Krishna. And that we must do. We have a nature to endeavor for something. So we have to endeavor for Krishna's pleasure, to do something wonderful for Krishna. That we must do. Not that we follow the Mayavadi system, well, I don't want to do anything. Just become totally inactive. No. That is artificial position. Our nature is to act, therefore we have to learn how to act for Krishna. Because that will purify our consciousness and enable us to enter into the spiritual world where we can eternally act for Krishna. Our life is act for Krishna now, in this lifetime, and act for Krishna eternally. Don't act for yourself. Don't act for anything except for Krishna. As long as you try to act on some other platform, you're only cutting your own throat. Because other platforms are more or less unreal. Actually, they're completely unreal. The other platforms are unreal. There's only one platform on which to act, and that is for Krishna. No other platform. Any other platform you would like to act on, forget it. Just forget it. If you're pursuing an education to further yourself materially, that's all right if you use that for Krishna completely. If you want to have a family, that's all right too. But if you use that for Krishna, to make your wife a devotee and your children devotees, you see. You can use any material thing. If you want to be a king and rule a huge country, you can do that. If you want to make your citizens devotees, if you want to become more wealthy than Bill Gates, so you can make huge sums of money to support ISKCON projects all over the world, that is also alright. The point is not a pinch for your own sense gratification. Everything for Krishna. And that's the point. Because I guarantee you, whatever, that's the consciousness that will save you. That's the consciousness that will make you happy. Because no matter what you may accomplish in this world, it's all going to be finished. Today or tomorrow or the next day. All be finished. There's only one thing you can keep, and that is however attached you became to serving Krishna. It's the only thing you can keep. Nothing else you can keep. That and that only. So you simply have to learn how and become more and more keen, more and more eager, more and more enthusiastic to serve Krishna. That's the key to success. There are many success motivation gurus out there right now. You know, Tony Robbins, you know, so many bogus systems. Why are they so popular? Because people want to become motivated for success. People, there's a need for that that people have. They get so affected by lamentation and tamas, laziness. They need somebody to inspire them to become active for becoming successful. They pay big money to these success motivators. You see, we don't need these success motivators. Why? Because we have the supreme success motivator. Who is that? His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. He's the supreme success motivator. He is the one who's teaching us how to be successful in this world and in the next world, you see, eternally. So we will simply read these books of Srila Prabhupada. Not only read them, we must understand them. And not only understand them, we must live them. with our every thought, with our every word, and our every deed. With our every deed. If we can do this, each and every one of us will be very highly successful people. As of then. Highly successful people. And this, we can, and together under Prabhupada's direction, we can revolutionize this whole planet. As of then. Whole planet can be revolutionized. So we can ask now if there's any questions.
Many of them are students or office-going people. They often find a little bit difficult to cope up with, keeping a good sadhana, strong sadhana, just like morning chanting or like that. So can you tell something about that?
Yeah, the very simple way. Many people have a hard time. One of my students just called me from Calcutta today. She said, I chant around, I fall asleep. And when do you chant him? Oh, I chant him at night. Don't stay up late chanting your rounds. Go to bed early and get up early and chant your rounds before sunrise. See, that's the way to do it. During the Brahma Muhurta, it's 10 times easier to chant your japa. 10 times easier during Brahma Muhurta. So why struggle to chant your rounds? It's like if you take butter out of the freezer and try to cut it with a knife, it's like a rock. You can't even get through it. If you take soft butter, the knife just goes right through it. So the mind is like soft butter during the Brahma Muhurta. You see, you can just go into that holy name and dive deep into the holy names. It's so sweet, so easy, it's fun. It's like going for a wonderful dip every morning. It's an enlivening, exciting dip in the ocean of Namamrita every morning. So get up before sunrise, chant your rounds before the sun comes up. That's the key. Even if you're a little tired, go ahead, get up early. Chant your rounds, go back to sleep before you go to class. Take a nap before you go to class, But I guarantee you, if you'll get up and chant your rounds before the sunrise, it's so much easier. Do it every day, 16 rounds before sunrise. You can even make a vow, I won't eat any breakfast until I finish my rounds every day. Then your stomach will force you. Everybody else goes to the prasadam room, you can sit here in front of going to tie and finish your rounds, you see. That'll inspire you also. You make that vow, no prasadam. Every day I will not eat, put one morsel of prasadam in my mouth till I finish my rounds. I guarantee you, you'll become very good at getting your rounds done early every day if you follow that rule. We're not enforcing the rule on you, but I'm saying if you voluntarily accept this principle, you'll find yourself making very nice progress in Krishna consciousness. So the key is use that Brahma Muhurta hour to its fullest extent. Whatever you do, don't sleep during Brahma Muhurta. Even if you went to bed late, get up, take advantage of it, and go back to sleep. Any more questions?
Sometimes.
Speak. I'm hard of hearing, so speak up.
As you said that. Sometimes making such vows are really useful in going ahead in Krishna consciousness.
What's useful?
Taking vows
making
like this.
Making vows.
Yes. Vows are very good. If you make a principle and you stick to it, yes.
But sometimes following such strict vows also bring us pride.
Yeah, so make a vow about that too. Pride means you think you're better than the others. Here's the way to overcome pride. You have to always meditate and worship the good qualities of others. Instead of looking at a person proudly and thinking, oh, he's got this bad quality and I'm better than him in this way and better him. Now look at this person and think, just see that nice quality he has. Always learn how to worship and appreciate all the devotees. You see, you have to learn how to do Vaishnava Puja in your mind all the time. 24 hours a day, Vaishnava Puja. Like we have Guru Puja, right? So you have to also do Vaishnava Puja. Just like here in this room, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 19 Vaishnavas and one rascal. You see? You have to learn how to do Vaishnava Puja to every devotee and then you know in your mind. When you think about this devotee, you think, oh, he has this good quality, that devotee has that good quality, in this way. There won't be any room for your pride to come in because you're always thinking about the wonderful qualities of the devotees. You can't just crush out pride. Instead of being proud of yourself, you be proud of the other devotees, you see. I mean, I'm proud of you. You all nice boys here. I'm very proud of you, what you're doing. So pride is natural, but just to have it for others, not for yourself. Be proud of ISKCON. Be proud of Prabhupada. Be proud of the Krishna Consciousness movement. But don't think you're better than someone else because you're a member of this movement. Just understand you're more fortunate, that's all. Somehow, by good fortune, I'm a member of ISKCON and others are not. Not that I'm better than they are. If you can, in any karma, you think, if they had joined ISKCON, they would be 10 times better devotee than me. You see? In this way, you have to always keep yourself from getting proud at any level. But if you take your pride and apply it to all the others, I'm so proud of this devotee. He has such nice qualities in this way. Questions more?
How do you maintain the consciousness that we are doing everything for Krishna?
Consciousness of?
How do you maintain the consciousness that we are doing everything for Krishna?
Well, you have to actually do it for Krishna. Then it's easy. You have to actually do it for Krishna. So how do you know if you're doing it for Krishna? That's the question. Well, you have to know what Krishna wants. And you have to do what Krishna says. This is why a guru is very important, you see. Because whatever instruction guru gives us, we follow, that is what Krishna wants. Krishna tells us to accept guru, serve guru. So, whatever order guru gives us, we accept that order as our very life and soul. We worship that order, we always meditate on it. So, if guru has ordered you to do this, and you are following his instruction, that is for Krishna. And it is for Krishna. You may like doing it, you may not like doing it, that doesn't matter. This is what Guru wants you to do. Prabhupada wants us to chant 16 rounds every day. So that's for Krishna. We personally don't know Krishna, but we know someone who does know him, and that's Prabhupada. Prabhupada has revealed himself to us so fully in his books. Of course, Krishna has revealed a little bit also in the Bhagavad Gita, but Prabhupada has elaborated in great depth to allow us to really get a full understanding of what Krishna wants. So if we act according to our founder Acharya, his divine grace Srila Prabhupada, if we act according to his orders, his instructions, and it's also important that if we don't have one yet, that we should become initiated disciples as well. So we have our Diksha Guru who directly gives us personal instructions. I want you to do this. Because that's very powerful and that's essential for a disciple to have an initiating spiritual master, that he fully surrenders to following that spiritual master's orders and doing whatever the spiritual master tells him to do. That's an essential item. Because then it's really easy. If you have a Diksha Guru, then when he's pleased, then you're doing what Krishna wants. When he's not pleased, you're not. You have to always please your spiritual master. If Guru Maharaj is pleased, then I know I'm doing it for Krishna. If he's not pleased, I know I'm doing it for some other purpose. So that's a real way to really know. Because when Guru is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. But if Guru is not there with you every day, then what do? Well, Guru's representative is also there. Just like Prabhupada said, temple president. Do you have a leader here in the base? Who is the leader? Are you the leader?
No, Ram Prabhu is the OC. He's in charge. Ram is not inside.
He's in there?
Yeah.
So you have to please your temple leader. Prabhupada said, they said, Srila Prabhupada, how do you know, how do we know when we're pleasing you if you're not physically here? So the temple president and GBC are there. So what if your initiating guru is not here? Then whoever your local leader is, you're working in an ISKCON center, who's your local leader? Is he pleased with your activities? Who are you working under directly in the organization? The spiritual master wants you to please your immediate supervisor. You see? So you have to always, you shouldn't argue with your base commander. You should be always doing such nice service that the base commander is very, very pleased with you. Then you know you're doing it for Krishna. But if you're acting independently and the base commander is not happy with you, well, you may think you're doing it for Krishna, but actually you're doing it for your own sense gratification. So these are some of the ways we can know. We have to actually know if Krishna is pleased or not. By knowing if Prabhupada is pleased or not. By knowing if our local representative of Prabhupada's movement is pleased or not. My disciples, as I say, they'll be in a distant center. They'll say, Gurudev, how can I please you? I say, well, serve the local devotees. Do nice service there at the local temple where you are located. And that will be direct service to your spiritual master on my order. That's how I train them. Any other questions? So, yeah.
Suppose if our master gives us some instruction, like simple instruction that you just gave, that we should chant our rounds before sunrise. But suppose if I am working in a system that forces me to go against this rule, and the master comes to know about this, that he is not able to do this, so how should I behave then?
Oh, the spiritual master gave an instruction and you're physically unable to do it?
Yeah.
You can explain to him the difficulty and ask him what to do in that such situation. He can always adjust the instruction according to time, place and circumstance. Spiritual master is not some rigid machine. He's a person. He can understand time, place and circumstance very well. Even Prabhupada had to deal, sometimes break the rules to start this movement. You know that? He told us. He said, when I came to New York, I was staying in one apartment. And I looked in the refrigerator and there was meat. So Prabhupada asked the person he was staying, well, who is this for? He said, oh, that's for the cat. Yeah, a cat was living also in the house and they were feeding meat to the cat. So Prabhupada was saying, what he said was, if I cried that I had broken my rules and regulations. He didn't finish the sentence. But the point he was making was that if I were to take this as, I could have never started this movement if I hadn't had some flexibility. That was his point. I could have never started this movement if I hadn't had some flexibility. So there are extenuating circumstances. That's a fact. But we have to always strive for the ideal because Krishna can also easily adjust those extenuating circumstances for us if he sees our sincerity. I mean, sometimes, I know many years ago I was, before I became a vanaprastha, I was a householder working a job. And the first job I got was a night shift, from working from 11 at night till 8 in the morning. I was thinking, what am I going to do? Mangalarti. How will I go to Mangalarti? I go to work at 11, I get home at 8 in the morning. How am I going to go to Mangalarti? Oh, Krishna. When I reported to work, they said, you know, since you're doing this austere night shift, we'll give you a whole hour for lunch instead of just a half an hour. You can take it whenever you want. There was Mangalarti immediately. I live, the office is 15 minutes away from the temple. So I had an hour. I would take 15 minutes to go to the temple, I would attend Mangalarti, and then go drive back to the office. My lunch break. So I went to Mangalarti every day. So sometimes it may seem you're in a situation where you can't really do the needful for your sadhana, but if your desire is strong, Krishna can easily arrange things for you. You just have to be very strong that you want to do everything right according to Prabhupada's instructions. That's all you have to do. You have to have that determination. And you'll be amazed to see how it comes out perfectly. Man proposes and God disposes. There's no impediment too great. All impediments can be overcome for one who is very sincere. All impediments can be overcome. Alright, so we'll stop here. We thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.